And I want to invite all of you to flip to the back of your service flyer so that I can read our word for the day to you. It comes from 1 Kings chapter 3. Then King Solomon went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for he was the great high, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for your understanding and to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord. Good morning. I would imagine most of you have played a game kind of like I have at some point, whether it's with a family member, a loved one, or just at a party, an icebreaker at a group or something, where you get three wishes. Have you ever done this? Please, yes. Raise your hands. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Let me explain it as if I have to here. So you sit around and you say, okay, you have three wishes. What would you wish for? And what's interesting about this game is while it's just a game, you can actually tell a lot about people from just such a simple game. When you have the prospect of sitting there and getting to pick what your three wishes, if you could have anything in the world, what they would be, you can really learn a lot about a person. Because, see, you can learn from the person who picks money, fame, and power. You can tell something about that person. And you can learn a lot from the person who wants a better body, or better hair, or a different face. Or, you know, sometimes there's the party pooper who says something like, "Well, I have everything I need, I just wish for world peace." That's not fair, pick something. Or you get the person that's really serious, and they say something like, you know, "I wish all the children of the world wouldn't be hungry, and I wish to protect all abused women, and I wish for a cure of cancer." Or you get like that person that's just super creative and they come up with like some superhuman power they want or some gadget that doesn't exist or just some really neat thing that you're like, "Yeah, that's cool. I want that too." Or, you know, there's always that person that just wish for something ridiculous, like, you know, all Cleveland sports teams to win a championship the same year. And you're like, "That's not going to happen. Just wish for something else." Or you get the guy with, like, absolutely no imagination that just totally wasted it. He's like, "I'd like a lifetime supply of Arby's." And you're thinking, "Dude, you could just ask for money and you could have all that plus more." Or you get that girl that just can't make up her mind. The next 20 minutes are spent listening to, wait, no, I changed my way. Wait, no, I changed my mind. Wait. You know, you can learn a lot from this game. And the interesting thing about this game, while it's such a simple game, is in most cases, it reveals the person's heart. In such a simple game, you can very quickly see what they long for, what's in their heart, what they're passionate for, and what they strive for. And see, as we sit here in a new year, 2014, lies before us. I imagine you are probably something like me. You know, I've got my new calendar out. I've written out a whole bunch of things I plan to do, my goals, my what I want to accomplish. Joe and I already have our vacation set for May. Looking forward to that. I mean, we look ahead and we have these goals and these aspirations and these dreams of what we're going to do. And I bet if we sat today and we said, what if you had three wishes, what would you wish for 2014? I bet you would have some really good wishes. I bet you would have a lot of important things. Maybe, you know, something for the kids or something for your marriage or something for yourself or something at work. You have things and goals that you hope to attain. And some of them are lofty and some of them you think you can do it. What's interesting about all that is today in our text from 1 Kings 3, King Solomon gets to live that out. The God of the universe comes to King Solomon and he says, I'm granting you one wish. Anything you want. What's it going to be? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, right now, if God came to you and said, I'm granting you one wish. What do you want? Anything. I'll do it. I mean, can you imagine what he must feel? And he actually gets to live this out. And so, as amazing as that is, the more amazing thing about this story is actually what he picks as his wish. So, let's look at it again. 1 Kings chapter 3. Start with a little bit of background. Gibeon is 5 miles away from Jerusalem, northwest. David had set this up as a place to worship. And so, he's going out there. He's worshiping. He sacrifices 1,000 offerings on the altar, worshiping his God. Then he falls asleep. And in his dream, the Lord comes to him, and the Lord says, Solomon, ask for anything, and I'll give it to you. One thing. What do you want? And this is what's interesting. How many of you, if this was you in his shoes, if God came to you and said, I want to grant you something, how many of you would have that ready on the tip of your tongue? Like, he couldn't even get it out of his mouth. You'd be like, I want this, you know? What's interesting about it is that's not what Solomon does. Solomon actually takes a moment, and instead of thinking about what he wants, he instead takes a moment and recounts all of the blessings that God has already given to his family. Before he even begins to ask for something, he says, but God, wait first. I can't believe you've done all this for me already. And he talks about how his father David ruled on a throne. Remember, David was a shepherd to a king. And then he talks about he gets to rule on the throne and how special that is. And we have to understand, in Israeli history, up until this point, no son has taken over the throne yet. He's the first son that has gotten to do that. So, I mean, this is a big deal. And he says, before I even ask for anything, I want to thank you for the blessings that I already have. And then after he honors God, he picks. He says, God, I want a wise and understanding heart so that I might rule well what you have entrusted to me. And we sit here and we go, wisdom, really? Solomon, you can have anything you want and you pick wisdom. Why? Why would you pick wisdom? And then he talks about how he's very young and we understand from the scriptures he's probably estimated only about 20 years old. And he's looking out, he's taking over an entire kingdom, millions of people, the whole, you know, the whole people of God. He is now their king. And he's saying, God, I'm young at this. Please give me a wise mind to know what's right from wrong, to know who to trust and who not to trust, what's a good decision, what's a bad decision, to be able to discern these things. That's my wish, God. And because he asked for wisdom, God is very pleased. And because he didn't ask for something selfish, God goes ahead and gives him those things that selfish people would ask for, money and riches and power. He says, not only am I going to make you the wisest man the world has ever seen, I'm also going to give you wealth and power that the world has seldom seen. And so we look at this and we say, that's amazing. You know, Solomon, good for you that's what you wished for, a great thing. But what does that mean for me today? How does this help me today? And as we talk about this new sermon series, what the world needs now, we can learn a lot from this story. Because this actually has a lot of wisdom for us too. See, the amazing thing is we as Christians have no need to be jealous of Solomon. John 16:23 says this. Jesus says, ask for anything in my name and the Father will grant it. What is it that you desire? And we see this and we say, oh, there's got to be some fine print somewhere. There's got to, you know. And so we say, no, go ahead. Jesus said it. And so people start praying, shoot for the moon, asking for everything. And then what happens? Do they get it all? No. I said, see, I knew there had to be fine print somewhere. And then they keep reading and they come to like Matthew 6:33 where it says, seek first the kingdom of God. And then God will take care of all the other things, food and house and clothes and all these things. And they say, ah, see, I knew there was fine print. You only can ask for holy things. Can't really ask for everything I want. And so sometimes what happens is people try and play the game with God where, you know, their prayer life, the first three prayers are all good things. You know, let my kids be good. Let my marriage be good. And then, God, here's my wants. I want a better job. I want more money. I want a better car. I want a better house. You know, we think if we started off nice, then he'll just magically grant all the requests. Like there's some magic code to our genie of a bottle, God, and we get all our desires. But if we look at this story, we can truly find some profound lessons about wisdom. And especially as we look at the new year. Especially as we say, you know what, this year I want to be successful. I want to accomplish some things. There are some things that are important to me that I want to do. And there's some things important to me that, you know, I don't know how they're going to turn out, but I want it to be a good year. And as we look at this, there's truly some awesome wisdom that we can glean from this for how we can live our lives. And the first is this. Before we ask for anything, it's important to remember the blessings that God has already done, and thank him. And not to kiss up, not to get on the nice list, not to bribe him, but because I think it's important as we look for 2014, what we want to happen, it's important to step back and look at 2013 and see what God already did. It's important to go back and say, oh, God, you know what? I was praying for this all year, and you didn't answer it this way. You answered it this way. And I only see that now that I look back. Or, you know what, God, I prayed for this and I prayed for this. And then, you know what, I realize now that I really didn't need that. I was actually praying for the wrong thing. I think it's important that we look back at 2013 before we get to the prayers of 2014 to see how God works. Because that's going to help our prayer life in 2014. When we understand that we can pray what's on our heart and we don't have to have God do this exactly as I say, but we can say, God, do something. I know I prayed for things in 2013 and you worked it out much better in a much different way. So this year, I'm just going to pray that you resolve this and I'm going to trust that you'll do it. Or, Lord, I'm going to pray knowing that you did answer prayers in 2013. I know what you have done. And that's the first thing Solomon did. And that's something we can learn too. Before we're looking ahead, let's look behind and thank him for what he's already done and recognize what he's already done. But the other big thing we need to learn from Solomon today is this. We need to get our desires in check. Because see, when you come here on a Sunday, the big thing that we have to wrestle with is this. Do you come here to worship God or do you come here to use God? Are you coming here and your desires for your life is what this is all about? You know, you want someone to be healed. You want a better job. You want your kids to stop doing this or that. You want all of these things that you want. And so you come here to ask this God That's the agent who's going to give you all of your desires. Is that why you come here? Do you come here to use God or to worship Him? And I think that's a very important question for Christians to start to ask themselves. What is my attitude in prayer? Am I coming here saying, God, I want these things that I want, and you're the God that's going to give them to me, and I'll be mad when I don't get them? Or do we come here saying, God, you're God, and I worship you, and I humbly ask for these things, but I know you know best? What is our attitude? Because here's the thing. God knows the difference. God knows whether you're trying to use Him or whether you're worshiping Him. And what we have to understand is our desires are the problem. If you're desiring the things for this world, that's the problem. Because God doesn't want those things for you. And you can strive and you can long and you can say, God, you're the one to give me those things. But if that's not for Him to do, then He's not going to do it. Because see, what you're doing is you're still making church all about you and what you want. And you're using Him as the agent to get it. So you have to ask the question, do you truly honor and worship Him then? Because see, there's something very interesting. You know, while we look at Solomon and we say, why would you ask for wisdom? There's something very interesting in that. Why should we seek God's wisdom? Why would that be important? See, when we ask the question, what the world needs now, one of those answers is God's wisdom. You know, it's kind of like little children. If you've got to spend time around little children, you know this game. I have a soon-to-be two-year-old, and she has began to get very independent in her little britches. And she now knows what she wants. And she, in her limited vocabulary, can let me know what she wants. And so, like yesterday, as I'm watching my Colts, you know, and she's point blank in front of me saying, treat, 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 treat. And I go, no, I know better. You don't need a treat. Jelly bean, jelly bean, jelly bean, jelly bean. No, you don't need a jelly bean. Snack, 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 snack. And I have to say, sweetheart, I know what you need. You don't need that right now. See, also, this is a great story. Gross, but great. I told this at the earlier service, and Dave Hargula said that a family member of his recently put on Facebook that her daughter was bawling, because she wouldn't let her lick the toilet. Yeah. But see, that's kids. Kids don't know what they truly need, but they know what they want. In a lot of ways, we're like that with God. A lot of ways, there are prayers that are the equivalent of you going, God, let me lick the toilet. And God is going, are you nuts? No, I am not going to grant that. But what we have to understand is as human beings on this earth, we can't see the whole picture. We can't see the whole purpose and understand the whole plan. And while we're free to ask for anything we want, God knows what we need. And He's going to grant the things we need. And He's not going to grant the things we want sometimes for our own blessing. And see, this is the beauty of God's wisdom, is this. Wisdom tells us the right things to love. Wisdom tells us the right things to trust. And wisdom tells us the right things to desire. And wisdom also tells us what is foolish to love, what is foolish to trust, and what is foolish to desire. God's wisdom tells us that. And so the more we strive for that wisdom, the better we can be. The better we can understand our relationship with God, that He's protecting us, that He loves us, and that He does give to us. But what we need, not what we want. And we begin to shape our desires. We begin to not long for the empty and the foolish and the vain of this world. You see, because this is a struggle for believers and non-believers alike. The desires of all of our hearts are treacherous. You know, we hear the old saying, follow your heart. No, your heart's foolish. Your heart can love things you should not love. And that's where discernment and wisdom come in. I mean, our hearts can lead us down all kinds of wrong paths. How many households last night, Saturday night, do you believe there was a teenage girl sitting there trying to tell her parents, who were saying, he is wrong for you, how much she loved him and she was right? Love can lead us to do some really silly things. How many of you have ever made a really dumb decision in your life? Has anybody ever made a really dumb decision in your life? And how many of you were convinced that that was what you needed, that that's what your heart desired, that you knew best? You were following your heart. I knew. I wanted it bad. And it was stupid. And I hate it now. All of us have that. All of us struggle with this. See, a heart loves. That's its job. The heart loves. But it doesn't discern. That's what the mind does. And a heart can love worldly things. It can love vain things. It can love empty things. It can love things that aren't worth loving or desiring. And the wisdom from God will help you discern what to love and what not to love. The wisdom from God is truly a wise thing to ask for. Because this is the dangerous thing that we all have to understand. What your heart desires, your life will set a path to chase after. Whatever your heart is desiring, your life will set a path to chase after it. And so if you're pointed at vain, empty, just idealistic things, your entire life is going to be shaped towards that. But if you're appointed, if your heart desires God's wisdom and living in a way in accordance with God, you're going to be pointed towards that. And this is the most beautiful thing of all. When you boil it down and you understand God's wisdom will tell you this: to desire the one who desired you first. You know, so often in our life, we're looking for acceptance, we're looking for love, we're looking for all the things that we measure. And the most beautiful story, the most beautiful love story of all time involves you and your Savior Jesus Christ. There is no greater love than that, that He came down willingly and died for you. I mean, how many of you get impressed when a loved one does something for you little? I mean, magnify that times a billion, trillion, whatever. Jesus came down and died for you. And wisdom will tell you this: desire that one who desired you first. Live for that one who lived for you and died for you. Love that one who loved you most. Wisdom will point you in that direction. And so, how do we do this? We pray for wisdom, just like Solomon. We go before the Lord, and you know, how many of you have made a dumb decision in your life? Okay, all of us. How many of you consulted God in that decision before you did it? When you have big decisions in 2014, go before the Lord. Say, Lord, guide me, lead me. Go to His Word and say, Lord, what do you say about this topic or decision? Go before Him and say, guide me and lead me in this. I mean, I can think of myself growing up, how many times I wish I had listened to my dad when he told me something. Do any of you have that? Man, if I had only listened to my parents, I could have saved myself some of that. So kids, 2014, pray that you would listen to your parents more and learn from their wisdom so that you don't have to go through some of the heartache and pain. Parents, pray to God for your wisdom, that God would guide you in the right ways to lead your family and the wrong ways, that He would help you learn how to disciple and love. And for all Christians, we should be praying for God's wisdom. God, give me the words to say so that I can be a comfort to people who need it, so that I can share You with people who need it, that I can share with my loved ones the encouragement that You offer. All of us should be praying for wisdom. All of us should be reading His Word to learn from Him. Because all of us have been entrusted to things as well. Because the truth is every single one of us have failed to lead well at some point in our life. Whether it's with our friends, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, or whether it's in a spiritual way to our community, all of you can point, and me included, all of us can point to times where we have failed in that leadership, where we have made dumb decisions. And so, this is what the world needs now, is Christians who are striving after the wisdom of God, who in all things are saying, God, what would You have me do? And then once they know, they can share that wisdom with others who need to hear it. They can go to their loved ones who need good godly guidance and say, this is what God would say. And they can go to people who don't know God, out lost in the community, and say, listen, this is the right path you should take. That's what the world needs now, is God's wisdom. And all God's people said, amen.